What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Well, maybe tonight, Friday, August 15th, is the night the Mets and the Yankees fix their seasons, because it is crazy how they have mirrored each other. June 13th, a Friday, 2025, Yankees in first place, Mets in first place, all is right in the world. And since then, they haven't been mediocre, they've been bad. Mm-hmm. Right now, they have the exact same record, 64-57. They are both a half game up for the last wild card spot on teams from Ohio, and they are now 5 and 6 games out of first place, respectively. So this has been a bad fall for both teams, but maybe Friday, August 15th, with the Mets taking on the Mariners in what I like to call the almost 2000 World Series, and the Yankees taking on the Cardinals in what I like to call the almost 1996 World Series, maybe this will get the teams going.
How about a potential moment tonight at Citi Field, too? Luis Castillo could drop a pop-up in your favor.
Oh, God. You know, I don't like you sometimes.
What's wrong with you, Sean?
Yes, Luis Castillo, the good one, is pitching for the Seattle Mariners tonight.
Who can help his old team, by the way?
Who can help his old team? The Cincinnati Reds. That makes sense. But yes, Luis Castillo. In fact, I'll say this about Luis Castillo, the pitcher. He is so good, he has wiped the infielder kind of off the map.
Yeah.
When you hear Luis Castillo now, I think we think of him, we don't think of the infielder.
I think of the hit streak from the infielder, but yes.
You think of the hit streak?
Yeah.
More so than the drop pop-up?
For some reason, that always sticks out as my DiMaggio. I don't know why.
What was the hit streak?
32?
That's pretty damn impressive.
It was in the 30s, right, Sean?
Yes, and I don't know why. It's the only one in my lifetime that like sticks out to me.
Chase Utley stets out at me because the Mets stopped it, and then Mark Melusis lectured us that Met fans should have applauded him. I love you. Yeah. I love you, Moose, by the way. I do. He just de-anchored me as a fan that day. It was 35 for Luis?
Yeah, 35 with the Marlins in 2002.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Anyhow, here's a cinco.
Siempre de fuego, with some more than double fat. Soon even hear what's brewing, the list that's also there. A bunch of mercy in the air. Opinions flying high. Sean's got the scoop, don't miss out. Give it a try from the top to the bottom. The rankings are alive. Every week a new surprise. Keeping listeners revised. So grab your sombrero. Join the fun, don't be late. Cinco de Five-O on WFN. It's always great.
Before you continue, Dan, who is like the executive producer of Evan and Tiki, always sends us information. He's out to get Tiki now.
Why?
Because Tiki, right before our last break, backed up Sean like, listen, there's no doubt Jackson Dart's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
He's sending me audio of Tiki saying the same thing about Joe Judge. There's no doubt he can coach. So the same phrasing,
well,
Tiki.
There is no doubt he can coach. And guess who he coached last year in college?
When was that, by the way?
Hold on. It's a great question.
By the way, my answer was he coached Jackson Dart in college last year.
Did he?
Yeah.
It was in the middle of his rookie season. So 2020, when we were all high on him, it was November of 2020. You were making a guest appearance on the Moose and Maggie show when you made that comment. So Dan is, I love him. He's good.
Sorry for Dan.
Sometimes you're wrong.
And I hope you're not with Jackson Dart, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a hater here. I hope Jackson Dart's wonderful.
I think if I ever met Joe Judge.
You never met Joe Judge? Oh, the pandemic.
I don't think I ever met him.
There's a good chance you didn't, only because he got hired like 2 months before the world shut down.
Right.
And then they probably weren't letting anybody in the facilities.
No, you couldn't go over there.
Why did
I
feel like...
I was calling games, but like I remember being in the stadiums, and there was nobody in the stadium. And they're pumping music in.
You didn't speak to the team before the 2021 season? Why did I feel like I saw a video of that?
No. I don't think so.
After Tiki said, hey, loves Joe Judge, the first Twitter response... is Joe Vell. Joe Vell writes, Judge is the real deal. Props to John Mara for the hire. It took stones to go with your gut, and he did. So, Tiki wasn't alone.
You got me. He was a good special teams coach.
I know. And he got off to a good start.
Of course he did.
I acknowledge that. I think the frustrating thing about coaches, and look, Mendy's facing this too.
Right.
Just because you have a first year doesn't mean you've written the script.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyhow, we're sorry. Here's your Cinco.
Oh, I didn't start it yet. Okay. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. So we have the potential now on August the 15th to have neither of our baseball teams make the postseason.
Can you imagine?
So I'm here to give you, in recent New York sports memory, the five most disappointing non-playoff seasons.
Non-playoff seasons. Okay.
Where, remember, we went in with playoff
expectations. This is all sports?
All sports.
Okay.
I'm just going recent memory because we could list 100 of them.
Of course.
All right.
So you want to say the last decade? Are you cutting it off at 10 years just so we don't get people bitching and complaining?
I will tell you based on my list, let's go the last 8 years.
Oh, within the last decade is fine. Okay. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
This past season's Jets with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, and as we just alluded to, Robert Saleh didn't even escape October.
Dude, that's a threat for number one.
Yeah.
All of these are threats for number one.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
The 70-win 2017 Mets coming off back-to-back playoff years, off signing Cespedes to the big four-year deal, and that was it for Terry.
That is a great call. I have argued this before because we forget. Maybe the most disappointing season in the history of the franchise, and just hear me out on this. They get to the World Series in 15. They make the playoffs despite everyone being injured in 16. And now in 17, it's like, okay, everyone will be healthy.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is our year.
This is a championship team, and they went out and they sucked.
Yep. All right. Speaking of sucking.
Number three.
The 2017 Giants. The Super Bowl murmurs were strong in training camp off their 11-win 2016 season. Mm. They added Brandon Marshall, and Ben McAdoo also did not survive the season.
Right. Definitely on the top five. I don't think, and we'll argue it after, I don't think it should be ahead of the two teams you already gave.
Okay.
But I'll get to that later.
All right.
That one was bad, though.
It was very bad. I'm not saying that.
You're a real son of a you-know-what, too.
Right.
I didn't put this at five because, you're being a homer again.
Yeah, you put it higher.
Because it's worse.
Oh, I got you.
Right.
All right. You are. I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't with you. Here we go.
Number two.
Last year's New York Rangers off the conference finals trip.
That's
don't
true.
Make the freaking playoffs.
That's a big one.
All right. And that's last but not least.
Number one.
The team just fell apart.
Team fell apart, too. And number one is, of course, the Rodgers Achilles tear, the 2023 Jets. And because I haven't seen this station with the amount of hype that went into a team in the summer, quite like the 2023 Jets. And I know there's a caveat of Rodgers getting hurt.
I know, that's why, because you guys killed me after they won that game, saying the season's over, so I almost wouldn't put it in there for that reason.
But,
you know what I mean?
I think
I hear you.
I was just saying, one of the biggest what-ifs to me, though, is now that we saw the way 2024 played out is, do we know if he doesn't get hurt, if they don't make the playoffs?
Well, I think before he got hurt, he was still playing at a high level. Now, let's not forget, his last year in Green Bay, there were some struggles. He lost to the Giants and the Jets in back-to-back weekends, right? And so
we knew
that he wasn't that MVP that he was a couple years prior to that. And he got hurt, so it was like, oh, man, when is age going to catch up? But the hype around him when he came to New York is greater than anything I've ever seen.
Totally agree. I think the injury is the caveat that makes it challenging. Look, there's a few. I'm not saying where I'd put them, but there's a few that you got to mention. The 23 Yankees, the 23 Mets. I think both teams 2 years ago, disasters. Right. The two Knick teams, like 2014 Knicks, this is off a 54-win regular season. They come out, they finish under 500, they miss the playoffs.
It was bad.
And then the Knick year after 21, so the 2022 Knicks.
Oh, off the Hawks series.
Off of the Hawks series.
Where do the Nets fall in any of this?
None of them. Because they...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Made the playoffs in the year that they traded KD and Kyrie.
Oh, I see.
So that one would be up there, but they made the playoffs because of that 17 out of 19 that they won. Right.
The caveat is the teams that missed the playoffs. That's why I kind of skirted the Nets here.
No, the Nets don't have a team. I tell you right now.
Right.
But the summation of this list and why I did it is, okay, gave you those five, you have other ones to argue. are both of, one of, or neither of these baseball teams this year if they make the playoffs on this list when you update it?
Yes. Both. Yeah. Yeah.
I think both.
Oh, I think both of them are. I think the ones I would knock off.
It's hard. It's hard not to put them on the list. They were, the Yankees were in the World Series and the Mets were a series away. So
I think it's.
How can you not? And they both, in theory, got better.
Yeah.
I could make the case you could leave the Yankees off, although it's a major disappointment, because they lost Soto. I think the Mets would have to be on it.
No. They're both on it. There's no, the Yankees are the Yankees.
I tend to agree with you, but these are five big ones, man.
You're being biased in your own opinion because you were very down on the Yankees when they lost Soto, which I respect. So you're saying, hey, I'm not surprised. I expected it, and I get that. But I still think them missing the playoffs is such a massive disappointment. They're twins with the Mets.
That's a history thing that Evan was alluding to earlier, is that the Yankees are going to make the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
This is what it is. If they don't, something went horribly wrong.
Absolutely. The reason why, believe it or not, you're right, damned if you do, damned if you don't, I don't put the Giants that high on the list is, so they went out and bought a lot of free agents that offseason defensively. They brought in Snacks Harrison.
Olivier Vernon. Jackrabbit Jenkins.
Great, right? And they had a wonderful season. Their offense was predicated on Eli Manning throwing a slant to Odell and him making an amazing play.
And he also had a ton of interceptions on targets to Odell.
Yeah, that too. You could feel, at least I did as an IFO, great season. I don't think this was sustainable. It was a team that was built on free agency, and in the NFL, it's very tough to do, and Eli was getting older. So I'm not saying I expected them to flame out and bench Eli. That was obviously a disaster. But in terms of them coming back and missing the playoffs, I don't think it's as big of a disappointment as the other teams.
And it wasn't like the free agent slash trade. Let's call them just the acquisition in the offseason where you acquire to extend, like Brian Burns. You acquire and then you extend them. That makes it sustainable.
Yeah, this was not a sustainable match that they did.
They did, again, bring in Brandon Marshall thinking he was going to be the perfect complement. He wasn't. He was way too old. And they were top 10 in Super Bowl odds.
I totally get it. Yeah. But didn't you not see through it as a Giant fan?
I saw through it as a football
fan. Look, you were able to be an IFO. We were pumped. We had an 11-win season. We thought McAdoo was the man. Like, in hindsight, yes.
I thought they'd be good.
But I still think the Eli questions were still hounding a little bit.
Big time. The Eli questions were hounding, and it wasn't, like, I want to make it clear, Sean. I didn't think the Giants would suck. I'm not telling you that. Yeah. I just was like, they're going to come back a little bit. Maybe they're an 8 or 9-win team. They missed the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't disagree. I just think knowing what we know now about how bad the Giants have been from there and since, I think we forget the place we were at in that July and August.
No, I really get you. I think the one that gets ignored is the 17 Mets, because the Mets have had so many disappointments, specifically the 23 team and potentially this team. But, dude, back-to-back playoff years. Now the rotation's supposed to be healthy.
Spent on Cespedes.
Oh, my God. The second time they spent on Cespedes, that was a disaster. It's one of the worst Mets seasons ever.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. All those have been relatively closely speaking. So good times in New York.
Yeah. Good list. Good list, Sean. I like that. He does a good job every once in a while.
Finish the week strong.
He does.
Yesterday was good. Today was good. Good job, Sean.
Yeah, overall, pretty good job. I don't even miss Loogie. In fact, you know what? I'm glad I'm away next week. I won't see Loogie for like a week and a half. And God knows what this place is going to look like when I get back. So maybe I'll never see him again. I don't know.
Is this it? Goodbye.
Whatever. Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Hey, guys. It's been a little bit here, and I have something that's been irking me since I heard it a couple weeks ago. I went on vacation after SummerSlam with the family down to Disney, so I haven't been able to call in. So I want to bring this up quickly and then get to my Mets point. You know, after SummerSlam, you, Evan, and Sean were talking about the Jets-Giant fan ratio there in terms of booing Russell Wilson.
Yes.
I just want to make it a point that when I was there both nights, I saw about a 5-to-1 ratio of blue-red John Cena shirts to the green ones you couldn't find. You wouldn't even think the Jets played in that stadium with how few they sold of those green shirts. So when you guys were talking about that last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, and you were throwing shade at the Jet fan of being low class or whatnot.
That was Sean. I'll just say, Sean, you want to respond to this? He's basically saying you don't know what you're talking about. Mm. You weren't even in the building.
I have boots on the ground. People told me what was going on in that building.
Mm. It was the Jet fan?
Well, it is what it is, Sean, because just like at SummerSlam when John Cena passed the torch to Cody Rhodes, next season if Pete Alonso leaves, we know he's the John Cena of the Mets. he will pass the torch to Cody Bellinger, and we'll take another Yankee from you. So it is what it is.
I didn't see that coming. So,
I didn't either. That was slick.
That's good.
That was slick, Kendrick.
But I do want to ask you guys about the Mets, because I have been away for 2 weeks, and I've been able to hear bits and pieces of your show, because I was with the family, and we were traveling and whatnot. And the Mets clearly are on a downward trend here, and I know Tommy likes to say there's something special brewing in Queens. Well, you know, the only thing they're brewing is a slow drip, which is symbolic of the demise of this season going on, because they're falling apart a little bit here. And I just want to point out to a few reasons why I think that might be the case. And Kiki, with your, you know, background and being in the locker room, you know, this year, maybe it was a little bit last year, fool's gold. And this year, now all of a sudden we're looking at David Stern's 2 year plan, because Milwaukee's doing fine without the man from Milwaukee and the manager that we wanted, which was Craig Counsell. So, like, clearly there's something in Milwaukee that they laid down a foundation that it's continuing. And I think what it is if you simplify it to four parts, the young talent, veteran talent, role players, and pitching. Our young talent hasn't performed to expectations that we had set out. And so I think right now Stearns needs to figure out which one, Beatty or Vientos, and just let one of them play the rest of the way, because we need young talent to step up. The other one is pitching. You know, we basically traded Montas for Quintana, and neither of them obviously are Cy Young top-tier players. But when we look at Quintana's innings pitch, he's a 60 more than Montas. That trade backfired completely. So here's my question, Tiki. Since David Stearns got here, it almost seems like everyone's on notice, and no one knows if they're going to be back the next year. How does that play into, like, when things go bad, to pick yourself up? Because when we're playing well, it's easy to get up to the bat. It's easy to make the routine play. But when things are going down and you don't feel like the organization, I'm not saying we're dismissing all these guys.
Right.
But this year and last year.
Right. The only thing I would push a little bit back on is that most of the guys who we're talking about are going to be here, right? Except for the young guys, but they have to earn it. If you're Mark Vientos or Brett Beatty or Ronnie Mauricio and you feel there's pressure to perform, otherwise I might lose my job to somebody, that's how it's supposed to be for a young player. But think about how veteran this team is. Lindor and Nimmo and Jeff McNeil, like, everybody has been here for a minute. Like, those guys shouldn't feel, oh, I'm going to get replaced if David Stearns doesn't like how I perform today.
I also signed a long-term deals outside of Pete.
Right. They all have big deals. Pete's the only one that would apply, and Pete's having a good season.
He's been their best player.
It's not even a conversation with him. I think what, you know, you hit on something interesting, though, with the staff. And I think David Stearns' lack of desire or philosophy of not even having negotiations with veteran pitchers that are 30 or have done it and maybe more reliable is where he's getting caught right now. Not, you know, caught, just like that's what's catching the Mets right now. And I believe he thinks our farm is good, farm system is good. These young pitchers are going to be the truth at some point, but it didn't happen fast enough.
No, it didn't happen. He didn't promote them fast enough. But I'll tell you this, and it's tough to get excited about it, though I probably will, especially during the offseason. The Mets are loaded with young prospects
100%.
Who are near major league ready.
Right.
Led by three, not one, not two, three top 50 pitching prospects who are all on the come, one making his major league debut tomorrow,
right,
and Nolan McClain. That's going to be the key for the Mets moving forward.
100%. Let's not forget, Benz just went to the top 40 or 30, whatever.
I mean, he's going to be the center fielder next year.
Exactly.
Let's be honest about it.
I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between what the fan is expecting, this is back to, you know, Sean's expectation thing, for this season, and what David Stern sees as the real target for winning a championship, a World Series. It might not be this year.
Well, no, I think they tried, and they're trying to win a World Series this
year.
Really?
I mean,
they gave up a lot of prospects to get relievers who are rentals, Teague. You're not doing that just to say, oh, whatever.
Yeah, but that was midseason. That's because they had a great start. You're at the trade deadline. You know what? I think we can do it. I'm talking about at the beginning of the season.
They signed Juan Soto.
Exactly, but that's for the long haul.
No, it's
for the long haul.
You're right.
So,
that's a long term move, but it's also in an attempt to win now as well. I think they were trying to win now.
I think
Sean Manaea is trying to win now. I mean, it's a shortish term kind of contract, but I get your point. And overall, the success of the Mets And part of why they have failed so far this year, and Kendrick is spot on, it's the opposite of last year. The young players haven't performed.
Right.
Goes for the Yankees, too. Last year, Mark Vientos was a rock star,
right,
as Tommy loved to say.
And the
Not this year.
And the role players need to start performing also.
100%.
Now, you're seeing a little bit of it. Cedric Mullins, he's fine
so
far. But there's role players. Who are the role players that are performing?
No, and they need, over the next 2 months, and McClain's going to get the first crack at it tomorrow, they need the young pitching to step up and contribute. But next year, like, this idea that the Mets are going to change their philosophy and go get veteran starters for long-term deals, they're not.
They're not, because they have the pitching in the minors. Well, in the farm system.
Not only do they have three guys who should be on the major league roster next year in Jonah Tong, Nolan McClain, and Brandon Sproat, Senga is signed, Manaea is signed, Holmes is signed,
right.
Peterson has one more. Like, their pitching staff is set, guys.
Right. They're going to have...
You may not like it, but it is.
They're going to have seven. They're going to go into spring training next year with seven arms.
Yeah, and Frankie Montas is probably not opting out.
No, you're right. Because who's giving him more than 17 next year?
Frankie Montas.
Whatever. Leave him in the bullpen. Who doesn't matter. I'm talking about starting arms.
No, I get
you. Six.
I get you.
So somebody's going to be the odd man out. And who knows if Clay Holmes in year two, after getting used to pitching over 150 innings, because he's at a max. He's at a double, actually. Well,
that's
63 or something.
That's why no one should expect major changes when it comes to the pitching.
There is not going to be major changes.
And I don't even think position player-wise there'll be a lot either, because Carson Benj is ready to be up here. Jet Williams just got promoted to AAA, and obviously they do have to make big decisions on Vientos and Beatty and Mauricio.
One of those guys is gone. Maybe two of them.
Maybe. And look, maybe those guys are packaged for a controllable relief pitcher. I mean, there's a lot of ways they can go, but they have a top farm system. And what's interesting about a top farm system is you could have a top farm system, but most of the guys are in single A.
Mm-hmm.
They're years away. The Mets' top prospects are all basically ready.
Right.
They're center.
Didn't they move them all en masse to AAA?
Yes. Benj, Jet Williams, Jonah Tong, and Ryan Clifford. Those are four guys. And I think three of them are top 100s. I'm trying to remember. I don't think Clifford is yet. They all got moved to AAA, which means they all may be here next year.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone expecting, like, major moves in the offseason in terms of, like, buy this star, buy, I don't see it.
Yeah. It's interesting when you think about, like, this season's potential failure, but what next season's actually going to feel like.
Yeah.
You're going to be pissed off if the Mets don't make the postseason and or crash out in the wild card or whatever happens. But you will be optimistic next year.
With the young players, you probably will be.
Can't help it.
Well, Aaron Boone has released his lineup for tonight's game. Yankees are taking on the St. Louis Cardinals, facing a right-hander, Andre Pallante. Luis Gil is on the mound. And some notable changes to Aaron Boone's lineup, one of which we discussed earlier. We've actually talked about over the last few days. And that is the fact that Cody Bellinger is going to play first base.
There it is. It's only a matter of time. Goldie's traveling, right? But he hasn't quite hit the IL yet.
Paul Goldschmidt?
Yeah.
And all the guys who are on the 40-man roster to be eligible to call up are all in the Scranton lineup tonight, telling you maybe a Goldie IL stint is not coming.
Okay.
Right.
Well, he is with
the
team.
News. That's good news.
Absolutely good news. That bat off the bench against the lefty?
Yep.
Sign everybody up. But we talked about how Bellinger has played first base, how he hasn't played a lot of it over the last couple of years. But when you look at the depth they have in the outfield, it would make sense for Cody Bellinger to play more first base. And potentially you catch Ben Rice. And maybe that helps Jason Dominguez get in the lineup. Well, we got all that tonight. Here's the lineup against the right-hander. Trent Grisham leading off in center. Ben Rice catching and batting second. Aaron Judge DHing. Cody Bellinger cleaning up at first base. Jazz Chisholm at second base. Anthony Volpe at shortstop. Jason Dominguez in left field. Ryan McMahon at third base, and Jose Caballero is playing right field and batting ninth. So you notice the missing of Giancarlo.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a Busch Stadium thing?
Well, there's two things at play.
Go!
Number one, I do think at some point they wanted to give Stanton a day off, and I think it's a back-to-back day off situation.
I was going
to
say they had a day off yesterday.
Yeah. It is also earlier in the day and through this early evening. It will not affect the game poured in St. Louis. I wonder if they're a little worried about putting Stanton on that outfield grass.
Didn't he play on the outfield grass 2 nights ago at Yankee Stadium after they had an hour and 40-minute rain delay?
Do you want to do that twice in a week?
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, and right field is smaller in Yankee Stadium.
And
well, that's why I brought up Busch Stadium. Like, is this, and we're going to find out this weekend, is this a stadium thing?
Because
Boone has admitted he's not going to play him in right field in every stadium.
The same thing happened in Texas, correct? Because Texas outfield is massive. So the last thing you want is Giancarlo Stanton having to run around even just balls going into the corner, you don't want him to have to hustle too much.
But Boone, does that mean he's not playing this weekend?
No, I think he'll play this weekend.
Boone also said he would play the outfield this weekend.
Okay, good.
Right.
Oh, yes.
So, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
and they're not going to play him in the outfield the same night as Dominguez, like I said. That's a big thing.
A couple of things. This isn't their best lineup.
No.
I mean, that's just the facts. Like, is it their best defensive lineup? I get that. But it's not their best lineup. Giancarlo Stanton is impactful, and not having him in the lineup is a bad thing. And remember, the Yankees had a day off yesterday, and they have a day off Monday. So let's not get crazy about how many games he's playing. They got off days. So if it's me, and who am I, I'd try to get Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup every single day. I think he's looked fine in right field, like I told you. He looks fine out there. So I disagree with it. Not the end of the world, but I'm just telling you, I wouldn't do this. I'd have Giancarlo out there.
It is 1,000, 2,000, 4,000% attached to Jason Dominguez. They are never going to play the outfield
Why not?
On the same night.
Why not?
They should, Evan.
Why
I'm
not,
telling you,
bro? Why
because
not?
Because then they're weak at two positions.
That's fine. Late in the game, you make a replacement.
I don't disagree with that. But they've experimented with this before.
Right.
Remember when Jazz was playing third and DJ LeMahieu was playing second?
I do remember
they were weak at two positions.
Yeah.
They don't want to be weak at two positions.
All right.
It's a great point by Tiki. The Yankees are telling you. They are telling you they're not doing this.
Right. Hey, guys, want to hear something really funny? It's kind of depressing, but funny. Baseball history nut tweeted out the scouting report of teenager Chipper Jones from a Chicago White Sox scout.
Okay.
Was not aggressive with his bat, did not drive the ball from either side, displayed nonchalant attitude at times. His summation on Chipper Jones, he was a disappointment to me. In the 8 games, he managed to collect only one hit and hit very few balls well. He showed slap-type swing from the left side, no pop from the right side. He's got some tools, and he could improve, but he needs maturity and experience. And then he played 100%. He did not play 100% was the other critique on him.
Because he wasn't playing the Mets.
Hall of Fame. Yeah, right. Teenage Chipper.
Exactly.
Is there a report like this of you? And would you be curious to see it?
I don't know if there was. Because it's different in baseball.
I know, but I'm just curious if they wrote it out.
But
like they scouted Tiki.
But how would you scout me after my college career when I was the ACC Player of the Year, was Offensive Player of the Year? Like, how could you? You can't write that.
What would they write, like, critically of you?
Yeah, you just
probably
can't
pick
do
on your
football.
Size. They probably pick on your size and
Maybe.
Say it's too small.
Maybe.
He's not going to be able to deal with NFL linebackers.
Right, but Emmitt Smith is my size.
No, I'm not the one arguing, and I'm just curious if there is a report. Would you want to see it or no?
I wouldn't mind.
You wouldn't care?
No, who cares? Literally, who cares?
Would you get pissed if it was negative?
No.
Would you laugh?
Rondé's was negative.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd they say about it?
Like, you're uncoachable, you're small for a corner.
I said he's uncoachable.
But it was only because he left school early.
Oh, come on, that's not fair.
Exactly.
That's not
fair. And he left school because he graduated, and why the hell is he going to be at school when his twin brother is leaving?
Right.
So he's like, dude, why do I have to be here? So it was negative. And by the way, he didn't have a great start to his career. He hung on to make, like barely hung on to make the team in Tampa. And then he got great.
And look at the story, yeah.
Right.
That's why, like, even the scouting report on Chipper Jones, like, we could kill the scout all we want.
How old was he? How old was he? 17?
Oh, dude, 18? He was young, yeah. Yeah, he was 18 years old. The scouting report.
No idea.
Well, that's the point. Like, the scouting report may have been accurate.
Right.
Like, yeah, he was nonchalant. Yeah, he was a slapper.
So, by the way, in the NFL, you're never 18.
That's true.
You're 21. Most guys are 22 by the time they're getting drafted. So you're talking about a young man, not a old boy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So he's a kid.
Yeah, he's a kid.
Yeah.
Well,
good for Larry Wayne Jones. He became a Hall of Fame player. Great respect for him. Good
what
for
happened
him.
To that scout?
His name is Cosmitis. I don't know what happened to him.
I wonder how long he scouted.
Maybe had some good ones, though. Yeah. He may have also discovered Frank Thomas, for all we know.
That's a good point.
Did you hear the story with the scout and Luis Gil tonight?
No. The scout and, like, the guy who discovered Luis
Gil? So apparently, Luis Gil was on the verge of signing with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
Yeah.
And the scout that scouted him passed away suddenly.
No.
And
oh, that's sad.
Yeah, very sad. So he couldn't come to a deal with the Cardinals. And it was apparently like now a big what if for Luis Gil and the city of St. Louis. Would he have built up and become a pitcher for the Cardinals? And
so he was going to be signed by the Cardinals, and the scout who discovered him passed away.
Yeah, so and then they went away from it because he had all the intel. And that
no,
was
I didn't hear that. I bet you they'll do a feature on that on Yes, will they?
Probably.
Actually, well, no, probably not.
Probably not.
Maybe
they'll do it in
St. Right.
Louis. But it was an interesting story. It was out today.
No, I never heard that.
And Paul Goldschmidt's available off the bench tonight.
There you go. I mean, he
and
should
so
be.
So is Stanton, obviously.
Yes.
Goldschmidt should be available for two things. Number one, he crushes lefties. But number two, late for defense, where Bellinger could move back to left field or right field,
right,
where you improve your corner outfield spot and you improve your defense at first base with Goldie. All right, let's get to some of your calls. Carmen is calling from Philadelphia. Hey, Carmen.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All's good.
What's up?
So, Mets fan living in Philadelphia, tough life, but I just wanted to call up and talk about Steve Cohen. As a Mets fan, I feel lied to, I feel embarrassed, and I feel betrayed.
How? Why? What happened?
I don't know.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I just feel at the beginning of the year, he's out there calling out. He's calling out the fans, saying, get to the stadium, pack the stadium. And I feel like every night I'm watching it on TV. I'm out here in Philadelphia wearing my Mets gear, getting all the hate from the Phillies fans. And that's the product he rolls out onto the field after calling us Mets fans out. And every night that stadium is packed. Personally, I've made the trip from Philadelphia 5 times this year to Citi Field because he called us out. And I think he just came into this season with a subpar pitching staff.
So you're mad, because I'm trying to get this straight, because you're right about a lot of what you said about Steve called us out. He said, hey, you better show up. I've done my part, and we have. The Mets are drawing incredibly well, even better than I thought. You're mad at him for not pushing David Stearns to acquire better starting pitching? Is that what you're saying?
Better starting pitching and better bullpen to come into the year. I think they did fine at the deadline. They made a lot of great moves with guys that had good credentials and a nice resume. But I think going into this year, we went into the year with a lot of guys that were not proven.
Carmen, I think, were
one-year wonders.
Right. Well, it's not even that, Carmen. I think it's just there was no surety. Like, you didn't know.
But I think that's
like Kodai Senga was coming off an injured season. He was healthy, but he was coming off an injured season. So who knows what it's going to take to get him back. Sean Manaea, kind of similar. And then you have a project in David Peterson and a huge project in Clay Holmes.
But how is that Steve Cohen's fault?
It's not.
But that's what he's saying.
It's David Stearns' fault.
Bingo.
But you got to believe that there is coordination and collaboration. Nothing happens without Steve Cohen's approval, correct?
Well, okay. I think where you could criticize Steve, and it's a tough critique to make, but you could, is, hey, you should have bought even more. You should have allowed David to spend even more. Why not bring Jose Quintana back? Who cares about the Cohen tax? But when you already have one of the highest payrolls in baseball, it's very difficult to say the owner isn't spending enough.
And if I'm correct, the free agent pitching market, it wasn't like great, was it?
Well, the top end or just the middle of it?
Just you're not going to spend 8 years on Max Fried.
Right.
So just top tier. It wasn't great, was it?
Not necessarily. I think if you look at the results of certain pitchers, you get a mixed bag of it. Like, Nick Pivetta's been great. Walker Buehler hasn't. Like, there's been some good. There's been some bad. I just think, and I appreciate Carmen's call, and I appreciate what he said, because I know a lot of Met fans are saying that. Like, Steve's getting tweets at him like, we did our job. What about you? I'm confused what Cohen did wrong. Like, I'm disappointed in the team.
Right.
And we absolutely could criticize David Stearns' offseason, which you just kind of did. But what does that have to do with the owner? Right. I mean, the owner allowed him to spend. He wrote the check for Juan Soto. He probably got very involved. We know he got very involved in the Alonso stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So other than us just being mad that the team is bad, which I am too, why would we be mad at the owner?
Right. Well, the two of the top 10, Clay Holmes being one of them, obviously, I'm talking about in salary, went to the Mets. Sean Manaea and Clay Holmes.
So what are we mad at Steve Cohen about?
So that's what I'm saying. Like, what could even David Stearns have done differently? Like, who could he have gone and got?
Not signed Frankie Montas and kept Jose Quintana. That's a very fair critique.
Or
Severino.
Well, Eovaldi actually was the steal, even though he's making $75 million.
I think there's a skepticism that Nate was ever leaving Texas, but absolutely. That's a name that was talked about. But those are all David Stearns stuffs. And that's why David does have a mixed bag. And trust me, we can analyze every movie made and didn't make, and he's not getting the A-plus he got last year. That's right. Totally fair game. But again, I go back to Carmen's point about Steve Cohen. He said Steve Cohen lied to me. How the hell did Steve Cohen lie to anybody? Now, what I'd say to Steve, and this is definitely fair if Carmen wants to say it, which is, all right, you spent, you called us out, we showed up. We did our part. The team is underachieved. We expect, Mr. Cohen, that this offseason you will continue to be aggressive.
Right.
We did our job, now do yours. And that's fair. And is that my expectation? I'm kind of mixed. I'm not sure what they're going to do in the offseason, but bringing back Pete Alonso would be a nice start.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's anything he lied to us about. Steve still did a great job as owner. Like, you think I'm a homer. Am I missing anything here?
No. Steve Cohen has done everything he possibly can as the owner of this team. As far as I'm concerned, after the Juan Soto signing, are we really ever going to complain for the next 15 years about him?
You just heard Carmen complain.
That's why I don't understand.
There is one thing he can complain about that he lied about.
Go.
Steve Cohen said he would win a World Series in his first 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's just a...
I know that's owner talk, but Mets fans, because we were beaten down so much from the previous ownership, took that to heart.
By the way.
He was a hat tip to Mikel Prokhorov, by the way.
Yeah, that's all he was. He was honoring the Nets. Breaking news. You know Mike Fliegelman does a great job here?
Yes.
You know Mike Fliegelman?
Of course. The biggest Taylor Swift fan we know.
Yeah. He just tweeted me and Pete Hoffman a picture. He is in Citi Field right now. It is a picture of a gentleman wearing a Rico Bronya jersey.
Mm.
What a beautiful sight. A Rico Bronya jersey, the old number 26.
You all right?
Yeah, I know.
This is the Rico Brodna podcast.
Am I all right?
You're tearing up over there?
I mean, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
How long have you been doing the Rico Bronya?
I think it's May of 22, so what are we at, 3 years?
There was definitely, when I was on the beach, a Rico Bronya fan, podcast fan.
What do you mean?
Sitting on the beach in Cape May.
Cape May.
Cape May, New Jersey.
Cape May, New Jersey.
So it's Eagles jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They were nice, though. It's the most beautiful town in New Jersey, I feel like, because even the Eagles fans are nice. Guy walks by. I don't think he knew who I was or recognized me, but he has a shirt on. It says, Rico since 22.
Oh, the Rico? That's Rico. One of our shirts, yeah.
The Rico since 22.
We sell
22.
Those.
Imagine owning that shirt, wearing that shirt, and walking right past Tiki and having no idea who he is.
I know.
I mean, is it possible he listens to the podcast, but not the show?
That's definitely. Amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's, I'm sure there's plenty of people that listen to this radio show that don't listen to the Rico. Mm. I'd say that's the majority.
I agree, but usually.
If you're a Met fan, you've at least tried the Rico. I promise you. Yeah. 90% of our listeners who are Met fans have at least sampled the Rico.
It's a great podcast.
Because we talk about it all the time.
Absolutely, but I would think that most people have gone to the Rico have sampled the other Evan Roberts products and not vice versa.
I don't know. How much do you talk about WFA and Evan and Tiki on the Rico Bronya?
I'll refer to things you said or I said or I make fun of Sean.
This is true.
Yeah, true. I'll definitely refer. I'll tell you one guy who I know listens to the Rico, and the reason I know this is because it's all his Met opinions come from the Rico, is clearly Big Mac. Chris McMonagle. And anytime he says something, and most of the time he'll credit it to, like, oh, I heard this on the Rico. But, yeah, he's obsessed. Suck it! I appreciate that.
Isn't he a bit of a fraud not going to Citi Field tonight?
For the Beatles stuff?
He paints himself
and he crushed us for it.
Dude, and he paints crushed himself us. As the biggest Beatles fan in this building around here.
Is he not going?
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's off on a Friday night. How does he not show face on Beatles night? I think
doesn't he work? He has to work tomorrow, though.
At 9 a.m.
I mean, this Beatles thing could go get bonkers, bro.
I'm just saying, you can't flex and be Mr. Beatles at the station. And the only time one of these teams has a big Beatles night, you don't go.
Here's the question for Chris Big Mac McMonagle that will answer this, and I can decide what side I'm on. Does he like the Beatles more or the Yankees more?
Mm.
And if the answer is, look, I love the Beatles, but I put the Yankees first, well, there's a Yankee game tonight.
Right.
And he's not going to go to Citi Field and miss a big Yankees-Cardinals game. So I think that's a fair question for Big Mac. When's the next time he's on the air? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, 9 a.m. I also know that he's been to Phillies games with his kids during Yankee games.
Right. Anyways, thank you, SNY. I'm sure you guys will talk about Beatles night. Baseball night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
Yeah, I kind of side with him on this. He wants to watch the Yankee game.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's been to Phillies games this year during Yankee games.
But also, like, what is happening at Citi Field that's so connected to the Beatles? Like, you even said,
getting a giveaway.
They're giving a giveaway of a Shea Stadium replica.
Okay, but they're going to play Beatles songs between innings.
And the guy who sold the hot dogs who's 82, he's going to throw out the first pitch.
Okay, so let's
go. The fireworks are set to Beatles songs tonight.
Right. Okay, so Beatles music.
He could listen to that in his home.
I mean, you just play Beatles music and be like, oh, it's Beatles night. Like, there's nothing that has happening at the ballpark that he has to be there for.
The whole night's Beatles themed.
I'm actually kind of glad I'm not going now.
Why?
I just get sick of it.
So throughout,
you hate the Beatles?
I don't hate the Beatles. I just don't, it doesn't do anything for me.
So throughout the night, programming within the ballpark will focus on the Beatles. Ugh. A full-themed evening. Prior to first pitch, there will be a special performance by the tribute band, 1964 The Tribute, in front of the Shea Bridge beginning at 6:15.
What's going to be their first song? Help! I need somebody!
Help!
I need anybody! Help!
It's very funny.
I really need someone!
It's so spot on.
Okay. For anyone going out to Citi Field, have a good time. It's just not my, I'm good.
Now, you know what the fans should play, though? Don't Let Me Down.
That's right.
Oh, good one.
Now, you know what tomorrow's giveaway is at Citi Field?
What's that?
Juan Soto bobblehead day.
Ooh.
So how many times does he strike out with guys on base tomorrow?
Juan Solo.
Well, when Pete Alonso hits a home run, you know what they should play?
What?
Yeah, you're the best, but it's Strawberry Fields forever.
Oh, my Tiki's on a roll. What else you got here?
And you're on fire, man. He's feeling it.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.